Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. As always, this podcast is completely free, so please do a couple things to help us out. One, like and share the Facebook page. Two, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
And three, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, and tell all your friends to do the same. Cody, start us off proper.
And welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the best of the 2015 so far movies.
So far.
We've done this last year. We're doing it again.
A little bit earlier this time. So we're gonna make sure we're the first.
Yep. To do what we started off that no one else has done. So basically this is the thing. We made a top 10 list each.
Mm-hmm.
Then what these are movies that we have seen already that are our top 10. And some of us have multiple honorable mentions that just we liked but weren't on our top 10. Then after we go through all those, we'll go over the movies that we want to see coming up for the rest of the year. And that's how this works.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Michael, where's your phone? I don't trust your memory.
I'm on it. I know exactly what I wrote.
What was number 10?
Number 10, San Andreas.
Boo!
Okay, now before... The reason I went with 10, because there are some better story movies, like...
Ones that have story.
That have stories and stuff like that. But this was a straight popcorn flick. Like, this was a disaster flick. It was meant to just be a fun movie experience to go to, which I think is important. I think it definitely has its place with all the other movies. What I liked about it, there was a couple things that kind of bugged me. Like the wide shots of the damage happening, like when they took like big, long, sweeping scenic shots, looked pretty shitty. But everything else, like when they're actually filming people and it was up close and you saw the damage in the background and stuff, or the damage of like the cars and stuff going through, it actually looked really good. And the characters weren't dumb as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, you know, go to those.
So there was no of like, oh, I need to go get this one last thing, but you're in the middle of a fucking earthquake. Why are you doing that type thing?
It was nothing like that. Like the only thing that like got people in trouble was trying to save like a family member or something. You know, it wasn't going back for like their cigarettes or fucking something dumb. But I thought all the characters did the right thing, and like I said, it's a good popcorn flick. It was pretty intense at some parts. That's what actually surprised me, was like once you're getting into it. Like, it doesn't really, because obviously, yeah, it's all ridiculous, but they keep it centered on just one person's, you know,
the Rock's.
Like, yeah. The Rock and him trying to get to his daughter. So it's just those two, and there's a couple other people with them at each time. So it's just those two people, and you see other shit going on in the background, but they don't get too much into anything else. So it makes it feel, I guess, making it smaller while everything, you know, awful is happening. It doesn't go too big. Like, yes, it's way over the top with the earthquake and everything's destroyed and it's kind of ridiculous. But when you get into the movie, like, you kind of forget about all that and you're just kind of focused in on what they're doing.
How much of the movie is, because I've never seen it. I never had a want to, but how much of it is the actual earthquake itself?
There's two big earthquakes.
Okay.
Yeah. In it.
I know from the trailers you see him in a helicopter at one point, then it looks like, if I recall right, he's in a boat riding a wave at some time.
Yeah.
How does that flow into each other?
Well, it's because they're he's at this, like, in San Francisco, so they have to get around the bay,
mm-hmm.
basically, and everything's crowded on the streets, so he takes to the water.
Okay.
Like, there's no... Like, when you watch the trailers, like, yeah, you could be like, oh, there's so many. Like, because you're like, oh, you see him in a helicopter, and you see him in a truck, then you see him in a boat. You're like, what the fuck? How did he get? But it again, with the caveat that it's a ridiculous premise to start with. Like, it doesn't feel too over the top or forced or anything like that. Like, I think it does a good job of just kind of creating tense moment after tense moment and not being too ridiculous as it's going on. So I actually liked it. It just came out in digital today.
Did it?
Did you
buy it?
No, I'll watch it again though. Like when it comes around, like Stream or HBO or something like that.
Cool.
But number 10.
My number 10, or unless you were going to go,
nope.
Cody. Okay. My number 10 is Fantastic Four.
Boo. I'm just kidding.
No, I've only seen 13 movies this year.
New movies this year. Movies that came out this year. He's only seen 13 movies that came out this year. I just want to say that.
I may have only seen 13 movies this year. I don't watch as much Netflix as you guys do. Unless you want to count like how many times I actually have seen Back to the Future on Sci-Fi. It seems like they've been playing it every goddamn day. In all of them. 1, 2, 3. So I sit there and I go, I own this movie, but I'm going to watch it.
That's already right here.
Actually, it's in a box somewhere, so it's not very convenient.
No, because it's already right there.
Yeah.
Like, you can just watch it.
Yeah. But anyway, so Fantastic Four, it's not a great movie.
And we've talked about it.
We have, and so that's why it's, you know, if you've listened to the previous podcast, you kind of know my feelings of it. There was a lot of good in it and a lot of good that I could see that it should have been, but because of what was most likely just studio interference, they took a lot of that stuff out. So it kind of makes me sad, but at least the premise was there that was really good. And I like how they made the powers make sense. That was kind of one of my big things. So, yeah, that was my number 10.
Boom.
Cody, you're number 10, so.
Chappie.
That was so low on your list?
It was so low on my list. It kept getting bumped down. Because I liked other movies more.
But it's such a good
top
movie.
Ten list works.
Like,
tell my top 10 list works.
Well, why'd you like it?
I liked it because it's a really like original movie for the most part.
Right.
I mean, really, I can't think of another movie that's very similar to it. I mean, the premise is, well, dude makes a like it's a movie that is based around a living robot, but it's a different take on AI, I guess you could say. You know, it's like the birth of AI versus a lot of movies you watch there. It's like the worst part of AI. You know what I mean?
To me, I always had the feeling from trailer one that it felt like Johnny Five, like Short Circuit.
Yeah, it's like Short Circuit and RoboCop fucked and had a movie baby, and you get Chappie.
I wouldn't even call it that because RoboCop was half human. I mean, like, straight.
I was going to say, there's part of the movie where there's a half human.
Well,
think about it.
That's different, though.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was like, not they don't get equal traits of each other. And, like, obviously it's more Short Circuit than it is RoboCop. But,
anyway.
The movie would have been, spoilers. It's not on my top 10. But it would have had not been for the people in it.
You didn't like you're probably speaking specifically of Di Antwood.
Yeah,
Di Antwood.
And yeah,
that dude and that chick that raised Chappie or whatever. I just found them super annoying.
Going into it,
everything else was cool as fuck though.
Going into it, I didn't know who they were. Obviously, coming
some
out of
rock
it,
band
I know
or some shit like
nah,
that.
No, they're a rap sort of.
They're a music group from South Africa.
Yeah, exactly.
The best you can say.
I would say, not knowing if they've done other movies, if this was like the first movie that they've ever done, they're not bad as actors. They're not. The characters, on the other hand, just in how they played into the story, I wasn't in love with, but I at least could understand where they were because it's a different country. It's a different, you know, culture.
Like, I'm not ragging on them as actors. I just feel like the character, I just didn't like them.
But you could have done something else and it would have been
something
a bit
more interesting other than just stupid, retarded gangbanger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because that's really what he was. He was just a stupid, retarded gangbanger.
Yeah.
And so that just took me out of the movie almost every time he was in it. And I was, because he did something so dumb every scene. It was like,
yeah.
Cool. You know?
The other part, too, for being as smart as Chappie was, he was also really dumb. I get it. He was an infant. But as fast as he was learning, somehow he didn't
It was just a very
learn
naive.
Common sense. You know what I mean? Like, he stayed naive the entire time. which you would have thought through all of his research, he would have found out about that, you know? You know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing that really bothered me about it, but I still enjoy the movie a lot. But it's top. It's number 10 for me, to where it stopped.
Yeah.
It fell. I mean, it started higher on my list. And as I went through
I thought when I started the list, I thought it was going to be on there, but I was just, like I said, it just some of the little things that I was really bugged about. And then something pissed me off about the whole using the PlayStation. Like,
the PlayStation's for power?
Yeah, and yeah. I was just like, oh, that's annoying as
fuck. A little
bit
too on the, like, oh, it's a Sony thing.
Yeah.
Like, even though it probably wasn't, you know.
No, it was a Sony movie.
It was straight up a, okay.
It's product placement for sure. Yeah. Everything they had was Sony. Like, they even had Sony phones.
Yeah, that's right. They did, didn't they?
Yeah. Like, everything was... Because it's the same way, like, his other movies were, like... Even, like, we're talking about the director. But, like, if you look at... what's the E1? Elysium?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had, like, Sony stuff. Like, we went to, like... Not the future people. The people up in the Elysium spaceship. They had future technology.
But they weren't, like...
But, like, even up there...
Shoving it in your face.
Right. It wasn't over.
It was just blatant on the screen. Because someone would have a laptop and they'd open it up. And... The only thing you can visibly see on it is the frame of the screens is Sony on the bottom.
I'm not bugged by that because that's how laptops look.
Because
it wasn't so much the product placement of it, because it did feel so much like product placement, but it was just like you're a fucking...
Like, it couldn't have been like a computer
AI
put
robot
together.
And you're
product. But what I'm saying, like, Elysium, he pulls up this jerry-rigged laptop and he opens the screen up and it still has the plastic board on that says Sony. Like, if anything, everything about that was taken apart. Why wasn't that at one point, you know, dismantled?
Yeah.
But little things like that. But so anyways, Mike, you're number 9.
Number 9, Run All Night.
Ooh.
I like this movie so much.
Very close to mine. Very, very close to where
mine's
at.
So much.
Mine's like...
Like, right?
Scooched out a little.
And it's so, like... I didn't see it in theaters because I was like, because like Liam Neeson was basically felt like for a minute he was just making the same movie
over and over again. He really was making the same movie for a while.
But Run All Night is still kind of the same movie, but with enough of a twist, and it was such a good story, and the chemistry between him and
RoboCop
Ed Harris was fucking heartbreaking at times. Like,
the train
yard? you're not expecting that movie to make you sad, and it totally makes you sad. And then it's got good action in it too, and it's not like, you know, it's not like Taken action. It's a more realistic take on
People get fucked up,
like people get killed, and it takes a while like to beat the fuck out of somebody.
Like in Taken, in Taken the action, like, you could take a guy out just by shooting him. But in Taken, they decide, I'm going to have fisticuffs, and they get in some crazy fight where, like, he's breaking champagne bottles over someone's head, which technically should, like, just knock the fuck out of that person, but yet it shatters. Mm. But in this, Run All Night, like, we're going to get in a fight. Boom, I shoot you first. It's like, no, motherfucker, I don't want to fight you because I'm going to get hurt real bad. So,
even
like,
the fight.
Like, in the bathroom?
In the bathroom scene. And they both got the shit kicked out of them. And he was, like, through the rest of the movie dealing with, like, injuries.
And it's like,
in that
fight, he was about to pull his gun and shoot him. And the guy said, oh, shit. And instead, he's like, I don't have a gun, so I'm going to fight this guy because I feel like it. So he jumps on him before he gets a chance to, like, shoot him. So
it was really, really, really good.
It was really good.
Super underrated. Go watch it. Yeah. Because chances are you guys haven't seen it. So please.
In my theory on Liam Neeson movies as of late, like the ones that he, like the Takens and Walk Among Tombstones and this one, is there literally, and what was Taken First Class?
Shit. Nonstop.
Nonstop. That's the one. Nonstop. Taken First Class. That one, like those movies in my mind, I always think like, obviously not real, but like as a joke, like that's just varying stages of that one dude's life and all the experiences he has. Like Taken, he's retired already from being the air marshal and the cop from a Walk in the Tombstones, you know?
Yeah.
Like not in that order maybe, but then eventually it's like just like his life is so fucked up this entire time. Like, and like Run All Night's the end of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that's the last big adventure he went on, because he finally is like, oh, I'm settled down. Obviously, it's not, because if you look at the characters, they're drastically different, but that's how I look at it, because it makes me giggle.
Because they are all fairly similar. But like I said, I think Run All Night distinguishes itself from... I think Run All Night and The First Taken are the best two movies.
Have you seen A Walk Among Tombstones?
No.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, it was.
I'll get to it really for was. Sure.
Yeah.
But I do think Run All Night and The First Taken movie are the best two that
he's Wait, do you see A Walk Among Tombstones?
Yeah.
Really? Up there with that?
Mm-hmm. Easily. I would do this. Run All Night, Walk Among Tombstones, Taken. That's a list of those ones would be. Maybe that's just me, but that's me. Joseph, number nine.
Number nine. The Maze Runner, Scorch Earth.
Scorch Trials.
Sorry, Scorch Trials.
Me too. That's where mine's at. That number nine. Nine?
Yep. Yeah. It was good. It was a lot different.
He says with a shoulder shrug.
Well, I mean, because I sat through it and I watched it, and it just was so different from the book, which is not bad in some cases. I know to sit there and say that the book was better is very snobbish.
Book nerdish.
If I hadn't read the books, I probably would have maybe enjoyed it a little bit more. But just because the movie, there's so much more that I was expecting that I wanted to see out of it, especially the end battle with the whatever those were in the book, not Grievers, but
like weird
humanoid abomination Grievers things. Yeah. I really wanted to see that. Yeah. Didn't really get it. I'll say that I was. Not extremely impressed with the lightning scene, and when in the book it seems so much more epic. But that's also because what's her name gets taken towards the beginning of the book, yet she's with them through the whole movie.
Yeah.
So there was just so much change that it just didn't feel right or comfortable, really, even. But
and the like in the book, in the second book, the antagonists are different than what they are.
And I was so waiting for No-Nos to show up.
So I was going to actually talk to you about this off of here, because Mike hasn't seen it at all, either of them. You haven't seen the first one, right? Yeah, I think so. So there was a scene in it where they're being chased after from the cranks, and Thomas hits one, and he knocks his nose off. Did you see that?
No, I didn't, but that... Still, I mean, doesn't mean anything.
But
to me,
I was like, "Oh, it's no nose." I just wanted him to go, "Man, nose," like you know, something like that. But I was like, obviously, those are like full on blown cranks, and like, if you don't read the books, this makes no sense to you. But they were full blown cranks, so they were like past the point where like they could talk.
Right.
They just wanted.
I will say that part was
fucking intense.
Intense, almost
Holy
terrifying.
Shit.
Like the movie made a very different tone just for that section.
Yeah.
It felt like a hardcore like zombie movie right there.
Oh, terrifying.
Yeah, they're walking around with
fast
flashlights and oh my god, and they were fast, exactly.
Yeah, terrifyingly
with those fucking
fast. With the vines going out of them?
Hanging off
god.
Them, yeah.
Or roots or whatever the fuck you want to call
it. It. That one just snaps that rat and starts chewing on it.
Oh, dude. Oh. And it's like gory goo, like too, like because it's not like one of those things where like and it cuts away, like he bites it and like you see the visceral trail, like
and then
dragging out of it.
All the rest of them start coming out, like I want a piece of that.
Yeah. Oh, dude. But you know, one of my favorite things was the flashlights in the usage of the flashlights in the movie,
what?
Especially when they're in the mall, when they're running and you see them like holding the flashlights and just like going everywhere.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it looks so cool because they're not at that point. They're not using them for light.
Mm-hmm.
They're just running, and they're running essentially in the dark for the most part because it's very, very dark in those scenes. And it's cool to see the light beams from the flashlight just kind of bounce around as like they're panicking to run away from these.
And that was another part
cranks.
That I was that was extremely intense and like again almost terrifying, just because there's a lot of people in the group that aren't main characters that you don't really know about. So you're sitting there going, "Who's gonna get picked off?" You know,
and not as big as I thought.
I thought
like,
the group would be bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean it was in the book, but I thought because of the in the movie when you finally get shown in the facility, there's so many more people.
Yeah,
I thought they were gonna bring more so you could see them get picked off, but then it would have to be a longer movie, so you know.
But the final thing is I think they did too much of a reveal in the movie than what you get in the book. In the book, yeah, after book two, you understand things a little bit more, what's going on. In the movie, they're just kind of like, oh, yeah, here's everything within the first, like, 15 minutes.
Because they're setting up for the finale, which is the third movie.
Yeah, and I understand that they have to cut out a lot of stuff, but by the end of it, I turned towards Cody, and I was like, I felt like I've seen stuff that should be in book three.
And you did. It just didn't spoil book three.
It doesn't spoil it. It just I felt like I saw too much of it. That's all I'm saying.
They, because in the, have that you started book three yet?
Yeah, I did. I'm six chapters into it.
So you know how the beginning gives you that big shock of what happens?
Yeah.
All right. That's what I think they were trying to give you at the end of the movie in a different way, because it is drastically different. But that same, oh my God, that you get the beginning of the third book, this is what you get at the end of the second movie.
But I still think, like, the end of the book, they could have ended the movie there.
Yeah.
And it would have been so much more intense and better. And then you take the rest of what you ended in the second movie and you put it into the beginning of the third movie, and it probably would have flow.
Yeah.
Just as well.
Plus, I really want to see those crazy things come out of those pill sarcophagus things.
Oh, yeah.
Fight with the monster lightning. Oh,
yeah, and when you think that they get saved, they're actually not saved.
Nope. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that was my number nine as well, was Maze Runner and Scorched House. So, boom. Michael, you're number eight. Go.
Ant-Man.
Really that low on your list, huh?
Yeah.
You weren't a fan of that movie.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron didn't hit your list, did it?
No, it made it.
Is it really higher than Ant-Man?
Really? Slightly.
Okay.
Wow.
Fair enough.
I liked Ant-Man.
So it's seven? Yeah. Go ahead. I'm just guessing, but
yeah, I liked Ant-Man, but I don't know. I just I'm starting to want to see a different take on it now, and we've talked about that a little bit already. But no, it was good. It was funny, but there's nothing about it that like lasted with me or stuck with me. You know, I had a thoroughly good time watching it. Enjoyed it, laughed. I thought the action was cool. The fight sequences were actually really amazing. Way better than I thought they were gonna do with an Ant-Man movie.
Right.
Because when they announced Ant-Man, I was like, oh, I don't know about that.
It is one of those characters that you're just like, how can you actually like
you can't really make him cool.
Yeah.
But what they did, what was smart, is instead of making him cool, you made him kind of a goofball.
Yeah.
And Paul Rudd.
And that's like, what I loved about the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's you know, the best part about it was that he's not like this cool, you know, he's not the little kid
that turned into Captain America. Yeah, he's not
because that kid already had all the qualities of Captain America except for the physicality of him, you know.
Capabilities.
Yeah. He already had, you know, like Tony Stark was already a genius when he decided to flip it. This dude is just a jewel thief or a thief, basically. It's a jewel thief.
It was an engineer that became.
Yeah.
But I love that line in the movie that he gets out of prison and he meets what's his name for the first time.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas for the first time, and Michael Douglas, he's like, I'm done with stealing stuff. You know, it was in the trailer, but
it's so much better in the movie though, because you have that. You have the setup ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know?
The build up to it.
And then that line just sets it off like,
I need you to break into somewhere done stealing and stuff.
But Michael Peña actually stole the movie for me. Like,
towards
like,
the end of it, yeah.
Oh,
dude. Just in general. Just like every scene he was in,
his character was fucking amazing. Like, I want him to be. Yeah. I want Marvel to give him his own movie somehow. Like,
I don't know if it'd be. I mean.
It couldn't be like a Marvel. If Marvel wants to veer off and stop doing superhero movies. Just do comedies with superhero stuff going on in the background. I think that'd be fucking amazing.
Be an awesome one shot.
T.I. was pretty funny too.
T.I. was pretty funny. So was the Russian guy.
Yeah.
Like those group, that three dudes are like those three dudes would be awesome to see like
in
a spinoff of some sort, like,
or get like just get more screen time in the next one, you know, if they ever do a second one. But yeah, it's not like I have anything bad to say about Ant-Man. Like I said, it's just nothing
just
really.
Just for you, it's more the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. My next one would be No Escape.
Skip it.
I wasn't sure what the movie would be like going into it, especially with Owen Wilson in this type of movie. You don't really ever see him in more serious roles. But mostly I went into it because I saw Pierce Brosnan looking like, you know, he was going to do something. What was the last movie he did before this? It was
you're thinking
November Man.
Yeah. You know, so I was hoping to see a little bit something more like that of his character. And I was a little bit disappointed because he was honestly only in maybe a full 30 minutes of the movie, if you add up his whole screen time. But the brutality of the movie, Owen Wilson was actually a pretty you know, good actor, and the family was pretty spot on as well. But the shit that happens, and in some cases some of the most unexpected stuff that happens in the movie, like where they have the Americans lined, the family's up on the roof and they have the Americans down below lined up in front on the street, and you think, oh, they're going to execute them by shooting them, and they run them all over with a truck.
No.
I was like, oh, God.
Brutal, too.
Super brutal.
Because you see the people, like, stand behind them, and they have guns. You're like, okay, they're going to shoot them. It's going to be pretty. And then, bam, bam, tsh, big old truck just takes them right out. You're like, oh, fucking Christ. Look at that. That's a new way of doing it. Bullets are expensive. Gas seems to be pretty fucking fluid over there. So
they're going to use it anyway. So.
Super bloody and just in fucking tense. Because you see a part of it in the trailer where he's throwing his daughters across the roofs. But to actually watch it in the theater, or to watch the whole entire scene, oh my God.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I haven't seen it, so that's why it doesn't appear on my list. But I really
you realize the further of the scene is that the guys are at the militia, or the rebels actually are on the roof at the time. And they're coming towards where they are, and his last oldest daughter that he's trying to chuck across is just not having it. She doesn't want to be thrown across. And the first time that he goes to throw her across, she grabs onto him, and he almost goes tumbling over the side of the building with her. And it's like, oh my God. So he goes to toss her across a second time, ties a belt around her arms so she doesn't grab onto him.
Oh shit.
Yeah, right? He's fucking nuts, bro.
And then he makes it across himself just before another guy that was with him gets shot and killed. And then the part where they're trying to make it across town, and they have the scooter.
Yeah, fucking.
So they're all dressed. They're all dressed up, and they're moving slowly through this crowd of rebels that are coming through.
Yeah, they come down the street, and they're like, okay, it's semi-clear, and they hear a noise, and this whole fucking like 200 something. Group of fucking rebels.
And mind you, the rebels are trying to kill every single person that worked for this water company, which was mostly Americans. So if you were an American, they were trying to kill you, even if you didn't work for the water company. But yeah, then at halfway through, they're almost through the group, and suddenly the bike turns over.
Yeah, they shift.
Yeah, and so they're like trying to pick it up, and they're actually being helped by the rebels because they don't realize that they're American. But then one guy realizes that they actually are, and you're like, oh my God, what the fuck is gonna happen? And then suddenly the guy's just like, he's trying to get his family out, so the one rebel realizes that and is okay with it and moves on, and you're like, you just take a breath. Oh fuck yeah. So it was actually a really good, really horrible, just a horrific movie. And I do love Pierce Brosnan's character in it. He's such a
he's good, awesome
character. And his sidekick, Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers, oh. Yeah. That's right, that Kenny Rogers.
What?
They start off the movie where Pierce Brosnan's character meets the family on the plane. And when the family gets in, they're supposed to be met with one of the company's like limo drivers, but they never show. But the guy doesn't show up. So Pierce Brosnan's character is like, "Hey, you can hop a ride with me and my friend here, Kenny Rogers." And he pulls up in a truck, and Pierce Brosnan's character says that they call him Kenny Rogers not only because the guy loves Kenny Rogers, but he looks like Kenny Rogers, even though he looks nothing like Kenny Rogers.
Hey, he does.
But
if you squint and have astigmatism and you don't wear your eyeglasses.
Then they're driving to the same hotel just listening to Kenny Rogers music, and there's like Kenny Rogers pictures all over the place.
The side of it's painted with his face.
Fucking hilarious.
Kenny Rogers cab.
What a weird thing to work into it was. A movie.
It was. But it was just so enjoyable. And that's, it could have been higher on my list, but.
It could have made my list.
It just ended up being lower.
Except for one thing. Sheer stupidity of the female character, the main female character. Once in the movie, that's the only thing that ruined it for me, was the one time she was just so stupid. And it got literally almost got them all killed.
Yeah.
That's, to go back to San Andreas real quick because I didn't mention anything about this. Women are portrayed pretty poorly in movies.
That's the thing that got me about it because like, of the way she was up until this point, not to cut you off, Mike, but the way she was in the movie up until this point, she was the unsure damsel, but she wasn't useless. And then at this one point, she was just made the stupidest thing you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's always the woman's fault.
That's
like,
not even in her character, like so far of what we know. And so, like, the dumbest thing ever. You are literally trying to protect your family, and I'm going to ruin it for you. She goes out and says, over here, like, because they're about to catch her husband. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Don't do that.
Well, yeah. that's one of the things, like I said, I didn't mention it, but women are especially in, like, action movies or thrillers or even in all movies, women's are actually portrayed pretty dumb in the majority of them.
Yeah.
Which isn't fair.
No, like, not
you
at
need
all.
Better writers on it, and they need better parts. But San Andreas was actually a surprising, because I was expecting the whole, The Rock saves his ex-wife in it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because that's what The Rock does for a living. So you're like, oh, okay. And he saves his daughter. But, like, both Gina Carano, I think.
Gassiano?
Yeah, anyway, she's been in like four or five different movies with The Rock. She gets rescued, but she just gets shit done in the movie. Like she's not like, oh my gosh, she's not freaking out. She's not overly panicky. And then his daughter in the movie,
Wonder Woman,
was a fantastic character. Mm-hmm. Like, because she's with a group of people for you know, while she's separated, trying to, you know, get to a point where she thinks the Rock might find her somewhere. Her
daddy Rock,
dad Papa Rock would find her somewhere. And she saves the guys like over and over again because she's a daughter of like a survival expert. So she again just gets shit done the whole time. Like there's no like, oh my god, I'm freaking out.
She's an
or just
character.
Hysterically crying for no reason, like you always expect in those movies.
Yeah.
Like they just got shit done and they did it and they were good at it. It was
nice.
It was a good portrayal of them for sure.
Nice.
What's your next one? I'm gonna admit I just realized that my list has a mistake on it.
What's your mistake?
So I have two number sixes.
Oh. So number 10 wasn't really on your list, huh?
Nope.
Good job.
Because you said Age of Ultron, like, wasn't, like, Ant-Man was below yours. And I was like, where's mine? And I realized, like, Age of Ultron is below Ant-Man on mine. But I was like, that's weird. I don't remember. And then I was like, well, it's because my list goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Huh. You had
so
one
I
job.
Technically have 11 on my list. Oh, I corrected it now. Not that it matters, because I've already fucked up the list telling. So number eights on mine, so I'll give you both eights on mine, because that's really where it fucked up now that we're reading the list. So I have Run All Night, which was supposed to be eight originally, but it's actually The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and Run All Night, which are in that, so technically it's 8 and 9.
Wow, so The Man from U.N.C.L.E. was so low on your list?
Well, I mean, technically it was seven on my list, but yes. Yeah. I like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. a lot. There's just, well, now seven more movies above it that I liked more. Originally, I thought it was six movies above it. I was like, it almost cracked top five. Now I realize it didn't almost crack top five because it's technically in the eighth spot. So Run All Night, we talked about already.
Mm-hmm.
That is technically my number nine, I guess, by my list of 11. And then I have The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I thought was fantastic. And it's just because there's other movies that I liked more that dropped it down that I just think were better.
Fair enough, I guess.
So I what's your number seven then?
We're not on number seven yet.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
We're on... We just did eight.
Yeah,
so
right.
Mine are Run All Night and Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
Now we're on pace to go with the rest of the list like we're supposed to. So, Mike, what's your number seven?
My number seven was Age of Ultron.
Oh, my God. That's so weird. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah.
So
you actually did. I think you actually literally did guess that.
Which is funny because it's actually my number seven, now that I've corrected the numbers. It's number seven as well, is Age of Ultron.
Hmm. Yeah. I liked it. Again, action great or anything. The only problem I had with it is I just felt...
Killing Quicksilver.
No, that's my problem. I don't even care about that either because I don't mind... I think more characters should get killed off. But maybe not the ones you just introduced. Like, that seemed kind of silly.
None of them.
But I felt like it. I just felt like it was setting up more. Like, outside of the action, I felt like it was really only setting up stuff down the road. You know what I mean? It just felt like a big setup for Civil War.
I can see what you're saying.
It was a small. It's, I would say, like, it was a small setup for Civil War. It was a bigger. It was a small. It was setting up so many things that it didn't have a bigger plot. That had to do with just that movie.
Yeah, that was the problem. It didn't have its own thing.
It wasn't its own story with tie-ins.
And I was disappointed in how, like, the trailers for Ultron, you're like, oh my god, this guy's fucking ridiculous. And then in the movie, like, he's cool, but he's not that great. Like, he's just another Iron Man, basically, you know? Like,
in a way, yeah.
Like, so that's the third time where Iron Man just fought Iron Man. Like, fourth time, yeah. It's the fourth time. That's the main villain. So, like, that kind of bugged me. It was cool as shit. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's fun to watch. But it just kind of bugged me. Like, one, it felt like it wasn't its own movie. And I think that's always Marvel's biggest attribute, is the fact that they all by themselves are pretty cool. And then, like, when they all get together, it should be a big, you know,
thing. Should be a big event, yeah.
But it didn't really feel like its own movie. It felt like it was more setting up for other stuff. And, like, can we have a bad guy in this movie not be something they created? Like Tony Stark just keeps fucking everything up. Like, and every villain was his doing, which is, like, the classic, you know, bad guy to the superhero.
Yeah. But
it doesn't have to be, like,
kind of always the thing.
Yeah.
Like, because you started with Iron Man and, you know, his friend, Ironmonger. Mm-hmm. And then you had Whiplash, which was wearing, you know, basically his suit. And you had...
Technically, he didn't make the Mandarin.
He didn't make him.
Well,
but
he kind of did.
He made who we saw.
Right, way earlier.
Yeah, we saw who, like, he helped drive the person who we think is the Mandarin to where he's at, but unlike Whiplash, who is essentially using Iron Man technology, Iron Man's technology, and so is Ironmonger. He was not using Tony.
He wasn't, technology. But the only reason
he was going after Tony because of that, yes,
he was.
But it was still kind of a creation. It was
Tony pushing him into that way, and then this one, it was literally Tony's creation, like, and again, I'm nitpicking because they're all cool movies. They're all fun to watch, but let's do something else now. You know,
I mean, the real problem with that is even down to the, like, even Ant-Man, who is essentially removed from them, but not really. I mean, in a way, obviously, like, there's a cameo both during the movie and at the end that ties that into that world. But even Ant-Man, in a way, is still in that same... Not from Tony's point, like, not from the Starks at any way. I mean,
Really. The Stark, like, Stark Industries has their hands basically involved with everything.
What I'm saying is that the cinematic universe that they have built, I say we have watched them build. We didn't have nothing to do with it other than ticket sales. The whole thing has microcosms that build off of each other, and they always have that same, because they're linked, are always going to be able to have that. The good thing about Ant-Man, and what made Ant-Man so good and different to me, is the fact that it wasn't Tony Stark, or it wasn't Captain America, or wasn't Thor directly that had to do with him, you know what I mean? So it was its own movie, but in its own way. With this one, I mean, you're going to have that issue, and I get what you're saying, Mike, with that, because those are your main characters, so they're going to be the cause and effect of a lot of it. Yes, I agree. I want to see an outside villain come through, like Captain America, so far. The first one had an outside villain. He had Red Skull. Second one, Winter Soldier, was essentially Hydra still, so it's continuing from the first one.
Like, but it was his friend, but he didn't have anything to do with creating him.
Yeah, he didn't directly, he didn't say, hey, Bucky, go fuck yourself. Goes, I'm going to get you, Steve. he inadvertently, the only thing that sucked for Steve in this is the fact that it was Bucky. Yeah. If it was a different soldier that he didn't know that fell off and lost an arm and came back, he'd be like, this dude looks familiar. Yeah. I can't place it.
Is it the guy with the mustache and the bowler hat? Nah, I can't remember.
Yeah, you know, like that sort of thing. But like it was. Iron Man, he is his own worst enemy, so that makes sense. That's why.
But like four movies now. You know what I mean? Like that's the only thing. It's
it's the thing is like because they're trying to do one big story arc with all these movies, that you have that problem where if you introduce a different one outside. Now I'm not defending and saying that they're doing it the right way. I'm saying that's kind of the problem with it, is because you want to stay in line with this big long story that you have to kind of keep it in that way without having to divulge away from it and try to pull back. Like Thor is the only one of these, of any of them, that are so fucking far removed other than Guardians, but it's Guardians if you think about it, is not really
literally far removed because
but it's, I mean, it's almost not, because like Guardians is basically just the end of the rainbow if you think about it. Like they're where they're going with the main, all these main movies is there. Thor is so fucking removed from out of them, other than the fact that they're linked because of the Infinity Stones. Mm-hmm. His adventures himself are so away from everybody else. Like Cap, everything that happens in his movies has repercussions in and out of other people's movies, but Thor doesn't fucking really affect anybody at all. Yeah. Like nothing that happened in either of the Thor movies really had to do with anybody else's. If anything, Avengers 1 was kind of the fault of Thor because of Loki, in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even Avengers 1, like, Tony built the power source. Like, you know, so he's
in a way, they use his power source.
I mean, again, that was his creation.
Yeah, but you got to think, it's a cyclical thing. They want to, it's all based around these people. If they went too far away, then people would be like, I don't understand how any of this works together.
I think I'm just anxious to get to Thanos. Like, just get us to, like, it's, I feel like they've been teasing it for so long. Like,
movie. 20 movies down and you're finally going to get to it. But we're not even, it's not even the next movie. It's like, we have so many more movies in between when we actually get to see them deal with Thanos. As of right now, they don't even know about Thanos. Like, Guardians do, but again, like I said, that's at the end of the rainbow. That's like, they're going to get there in like 7 more movies. Like, we have so much more to go through to get to those ones.
Yep.
It's fine. So, like, it's interesting. I get what Mike's saying, and I don't completely disagree with him. I just think that because these movies aren't so different, that they can't do that, you know what I mean? Like, they're stuck in that.
Like, in again, that realm. I'm nitpicking because I still enjoyed watching it. Like, it's still one of the best movies of the year. It's just, you know, the year Avengers came out, that was the best movie, I thought. Yeah. You know, I thought Iron Man 3. I know we've talked about this, and it's, you guys were kind of shocked by it. It's still my favorite one out of the Iron Mans, just because it was a different like personality for him and everything. But now that we've seen it so much, it's like, okay, what's next?
It's not different enough anymore.
Joe?
My next one is Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Oh, that's so good. Mine's so good. Way higher.
It was just a really solid action flick. Good action sequences, good storyline. I haven't seen some of the other ones in a long time, but I would say it's as good as the first one, if not better than the first one.
I think it's better than the first one.
You do?
Yeah. The only thing that makes it better is the fact that we're not dealing on building these characters or who they are. We already know who Ethan Hunt is. We know Jeremy Renner's character, obviously, from Ghost Protocol.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not. It's not an origin movie, so you don't have to worry about it. You get that bigger. Overall, like, you get the main story without having to worry about, oh, Ethan is this. But also, like, I watched Mission Impossible 1 not too long ago, before this. Holy shit, is that movie dated? And then you have to look at the date. I'm like, holy shit, that's like a long time ago. They've been making these movies for a while now.
95, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're like, holy shit, like 10 years. Obviously, things have gotten better, but it's like, you watch it, and it's like, that movie's so small in a microcosm compared to this one.
Oh, yeah, they've gotten huge.
It's ridiculous. Not like, and it's funny, because Rogue Nation is smaller than Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
But I feel it's a bigger movie than Ghost Protocol. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels like it's a much bigger thing, even though what the scale of it was just ridiculous in Ghost Protocol.
With the exception of part two, this franchise has been
one of the best franchises.
Yeah, it's a great, and every franchise has that one shit one. Mm-hmm. And so as long as the next Mission Impossible, you know, continues to be good, this is gonna go down as one of the best franchises ever. Like, it's up there.
And it's funny, because I feel like almost like people forget about it.
Yeah.
I think it's because they don't come out enough. Like, yeah. They're not every other year is a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like 2011 was the last one.
Sometime around there,
Ghost Protocol,
yeah.
Right? It's like 4 years or something. So, like, in the scheme of things, you kind of forget about it. Like, you can't forget about Star Wars.
The next one's coming quick, though.
But, yeah, they want to turn that one quick, yeah. And I think the only reason that this one took so long is because they didn't have... And it's the same thing between Mission Impossible 3 and Ghost Protocol, is you lost your helmer. You lost who was in charge. So you went from J.J. Abrams, who basically brought it back from the brink of disaster, did amazing.
Yeah, 3 is so underrated, because nobody watched 3 because 2 was so bad.
Yeah, because 2
but
almost ruined it.
3 is fucking badass,
yeah, 3 was amazing. So he brings it back.
If you talk about rewatching them, that one's small as fuck.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like it's just in general too. Like,
yeah.
Just the overall
really
scope of the movie
affecting,
is small.
Yeah. Like, there's a threat to millions, obviously. Like,
but not like on a visual scale. You know.
Yeah.
What I mean?
You don't actually see it, so it's a very small movie in terms of like who's being affected on screen. There's like his group of people and the bad guy's group of people, and like that's it. Like,
and the other
really
thing too,
anybody else.
And I think the reason I like this one better than the first one is they feel very similar in their Mission Impossible realm. Like, obviously they've mastered what they can do in the movies, but like I feel in the movies, like if I just had those two, it would feel like this was a direct sequel to one. You know what I mean? Like it has that Mission Impossible feel where like shit's going against them, like it is impossible, but yet they do it. You know, spoils. They do it, like, you know what I mean? It's like it gets to that point where, like, are they gonna be able to do this? Like, you literally think he's gonna die. This is
he
where
gets
they end
his
it.
Ass kicked in the movies too.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like he's
like
literally
Die Hard
died
die
twice
hard.
In
like,
this franchise.
Yeah, like Die Hard bad, like bleeding feet and like
yeah,
you know that stuff.
But yeah, I was with outside of Die Hard, and I actually mentioned this before. I don't think any other character gets their ass kicked as much as
John McClane. There's Ethan Hawke and there's John Wick.
Ethan Hunt.
Yeah, Ethan right. Hunt. Ethan yeah. Hawke. Ethan Hawke's the one. He died at the end of that one Purge movie. Spoilers. Yeah, so it's like John McClane, Ethan Hunt, John Wick.
But John McClane hasn't died twice. He just gets
he
his ass
kicked.
He should have.
I mean, the amount of blood he lost in the first one and the third one.
Right.
Like,
but like, or even like Ghost Protocol, like when he wrecks the car to get down to the, you remember, like they're in that crazy parking garage thing.
Oh, yeah, where it's lifting the cars and he drives
and so
over
he just
the...
drives it off because that's, like, the only way he's going to get down there in time. And he just wrecks so hard. And you're, like, expecting, like, it's an action movie. He's going to pop out and hit the button. No, he barely gets out of the fucking car.
He drags himself out.
He's dragging himself with one arm and he barely hits it in time. Like I don't want to use the words realistic because it's not realistic. But in action movie world... Like, he gets his ass handed to him way more than anybody else does right now. So it makes it fun because you're like, he's not just going to plow through everyone and just kick everybody's ass, you know?
He's going to bust through walls and shoot tanks with little rockets.
Yeah.
Which I would watch still.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's the next one.
Was that 7?
Yeah. The only thing I want to add to it that nobody else has mentioned is the humor behind it.
Oh, this one is super funny.
Super Simon funny. Pegg. You see you see the part in the trailer where he says, "Well, you've been dead for like a couple of seconds.
Okay,
you okay to drive?" And he's like, "Yeah, fine."
So what?
But then also the beginning of the movie with where they go after those bombs, the nuclear weapons, I think it was at the beginning, where he has to try and get into the plane, and the way he does is just super awful and fucked up. Most people would probably break their back by the time that happened. But when he gets onto the plane, the only way that he has to get those bombs off is basically to strap himself to the crate and just let it go. And you can see just as that one guard is turning, like, what the fuck? And Ethan's just like, he shrugs.
He
and
just gives him the little shoulder shrug.
And
like,
then pulls the ripcord.
This is what I got to do, man.
Oh, I couldn't stop laughing. But yeah, that's
they've
it
done
for me.
A really good job with, like, because people forget this, but Simon Pegg was introduced in part 3. And it gave him more to do in Ghost Protocol. And then they brought in Jeremy Renner, and it was like, okay, this is the right mix of people. Mm-hmm. Like these, they're all, they're contrasting each other enough to make it interesting, but they're all funny in their own way. They're all good actors, which really helps, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a good one.
Your next one, Cody.
Age Ultron. We've talked enough about that one, I think. So
that's
about
actually that. Where mine is, actually.
Ah, number 7s.
Yeah.
Michael, you're number 6.
My number 6 is Black Mass.
Oh, it didn't make your list?
Yeah.
That's cool. I haven't seen it yet, so.
Yeah, nobody here has seen it but me. It's okay. This is like the only one that I've seen that you guys haven't seen.
It's true.
I will say this, and it sounds, I need to find a better way to describe this, but the acting, like the performances, were better than the movie.
Makes sense.
You just want to see Johnny Depp
chew the scene up.
Yeah, like that's what you're watching. Like the movie itself is good. The story it's based on a true story, so it's I think that helps Johnny Depp keep him grounded. I think that's a good thing for Johnny Depp at this point. But for anybody who thought Johnny Depp was done, like, no, this motherfucker can act his ass off when he wants to, and he nailed this one. He's so creepy. He's unrecognizable without being, because everyone gives him shit for the crazy amounts of makeup, you know, and the prosthetics and all that. But, he's got prosthetics and he's got makeup, but he's like, you forget you're watching Johnny Depp though. And it's not because he's completely altered his face. It's just because he slips into that role, which is frightening.
Yeah.
That he slips into it so well. And everybody else in the movie, like Joel Edgerton, really nice job on his part, because you just fucking hate him. Like, he's so awful, and like, yeah, you kind of hate him more than Johnny Depp's character,
which is weird because he's the
the
good guy.
But you know what you're expecting, because Johnny Depp's playing Whitey Bulger, so you know what you're expecting with that one. All of a sudden Joel Edgerton is just a huge ass, and you're like, oh, I really hate this guy too. I wasn't expecting that. And Sherlock, what's his name,
Benedict Cumberbatch,
so fucking good.
And everything.
God damn it, dude. There's not a lot of stuff between just him and Johnny Depp, but the few things where you're seeing them go at it, like you're watching it and you're like, holy shit, like we're watching two of the best currently doing it right now, going back and forth, and just how they little nuances of their performance was like, that's almost worth the price of admission right there. It's just
so you're trying to tell me that Doctor Strange and Captain Jack Sparrow know each other?
Yeah. They're brothers.
Brothers.
It's real. Doctor Strange is so old.
It's weird, right? But no, it was really good. Like I said, the performances are better than the movie itself. Like, I don't think...
Which is good, because a lot of times when you have those movies, you have, like, one or two good actors, but the movie, like, you want more out of the movie.
Yeah.
But like, this one just seemed like... If you know the story already, you're not going for the story.
You kind of, and most people know the story. Before the movie even came out, I knew about, because like the end of it happened pretty recently. It was like 2012 or something like that when he got caught. And that's what kind of sparked me, like knowing what was going on. I looked it up then and known the story. And there's documentaries on it. The documentary on Netflix is really, really good. Or not Netflix, iTunes. I think it's like $1 right now or something like that. So like I said, It's one of those things. I don't think like the movie is not gonna be nominated, I don't think. But I think Johnny Depp will be, you know, and I think Benedict Cumberbatch will probably be nominated for Best Supporting, if I had to guess. But he wasn't in it a whole lot, so that might fuck him up a little bit. And his boxing accent nailed it. And I'm like, man.
Yeah, he's another good American actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, dude. All the foreign ones are way better. America's not producing any actors right now.
We need to just get a bunch of foreigners over here to fucking make actor babies.
Get us all the good ones.
Yeah, just capture them and
sounds homicidal. Yeah, let's make it more weird. But yeah, that's my number six,
right?
Yeah.
Joe, what's your number six?
Avengers.
Hey!
The top half's going to go a lot quicker than the bottom half.
Enough said.
Mine was Mission Impossible Rogue Nation was number six on mine.
Very nice.
Cool.
Mike, what was your number five? Top five, kids! Top five.
Top five.
Not top five. Well, top five wasn't in your top five.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, making sure.
Terminator Genesis.
Ooh!
And we also talked about this at length on the podcast.
Yeah, so we'll skip over that as much as possible. Unless you want to say something particular about it that you wanted.
No, if you guys listen to the show, you know why I like it so much. And it's also
Emily Clark.
I'm totally gonna, you know, admit that it's a
personal love.
Yeah, yeah. Like Terminator 2.
It's a child thing.
Yeah, Terminator
2 is your top five. Yeah. So it's allowed.
So Terminator 2, I think, is one of the best movies of all time. And I just wanted to see this franchise come back in the worst way, and I wanted to see it done right. And when they actually did it right, and it was cool, and it was fun, it's a sentimental pick more than anything. But it totally not my top five.
It eventually got its way bumped down to number 12 on mine.
Yeah, I totally get it.
Like, top 20 though.
Yeah, it's a good solid movie. There was just more things I enjoyed.
All right, so Joe, you're number five.
Jurassic World.
Hey, twinsies again.
Nice.
Like the middle of our list seems to be very like the same.
We've been over it before. It's a good movie. I know I have some problems with it.
Yeah.
But again, it's another one where the girl actor in it is not stupid and plays her role very well.
Only problem with that is how the fuck does anybody run that well on those fucked up streets when it's wet, in terror, and high heels?
Oh, and in the jungle,
that bitch
too.
Is a
That's
fucking
superhero. That was the thing that actually got me, even the first time that I watched it, is she's tromping through the fucking jungle in those high heels. And I'm just sitting there going,
that is a woman.
This woman is a keeper.
Yep.
Because she knows how to tromp through the fucking and run in high heels.
In marshland jungles, no less.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, it's solid packed earth jungle. No, this is like you step and your like ankle disappears.
Yeah.
And she's running around in high heels. And you're like, dang, girl. I bet you smell good, too.
Right? Even sweaty. There are generally...
Especially sweaty.
Genuinely funny parts in the movie.
Yeah, like generally funny, too. Not like like a forced one. Nick Miller's still the best part about that. Because he's comic relief without having to be like the comic relief.
Well, you get him.
Miller. Nick Miller forever. Jake Johnson character he plays outside.
Yeah,
the
people are going to be all like looking up. Who's Nick Miller?
Well, this is
first
what
off,
happens after New Girl. He moves out. He gets his life
Nick
together.
Nick Miller eventually goes to Jurassic World in 2017.
Yeah.
And then when it takes place? 2017? Is that what it was?
I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. So mine is also Jurassic World for number five.
The only problems I've had really with the movie were the kids. They kind of took up that
kids
role.
The worst.
They kind of took up that role of, oh, we're not supposed to be doing this, but we're going to go do it because it makes things a little bit more exciting for the movie. Mike is shaking his head, but it's actually true.
And all three movies that I care to mention in continuity, because I still don't want to think two. I know in the storyline now, two doesn't actually exist.
Yeah.
But in my world, one, two, and then world, because three was hot garbage. But even in, like, three... The kids are the worst fucking part. Like, not so much one a little bit, but they weren't the cause of a lot of the problems.
Yeah.
Newman was. But, like, definitely in the other ones, the kids are the issue.
Yeah.
For sure.
Here's the
thing. Well, and Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn was the issue, too, but he's
in
a child.
In this one, though, the kids were good actors. So I'm not mad.
Yeah, yeah. No, they were.
Like, they.
It's the characters.
It's the characters.
Kids
That's
themselves
what I don't
usually
like.
Fuck up. And the only thing they did wrong... was continue riding on that spear thing. It's not like they kept,
but no,
like,
it's not even. It's not even continuing riding on the spear thing. It was, oh hey, there's a giant hole in the fucking fence that looks like something terrifying smashed through.
You know,
it'd be a good idea.
Like,
let's go through that.
Yeah, the logical part.
That's my problem.
But yeah, it's weird. But also, you have to take into the fact that at that point they don't know anything's wrong on the island yet.
It still doesn't matter. You're on an island of dinosaurs.
But the thing though, isn't that logic or lack of? Why doesn't the park have an auto retrieval thing for the
Yeah,
experience?
That was
that too.
That was
yeah.
my thing.
Like just like
bring them all back in. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like one button. Just
like that. That's what I said when we reviewed it. Like it needed just that one button thing. You take that out. But here's the thing. Like Chris Pratt goes looking for them and it's a part of the movie, but it's not really causing any more damage that would have been done had they just gone back. Like, that dinosaur is still on the loose. That dinosaur is still killing people. The raptors still have to go out. It doesn't create a new problem, really.
Only for the characters.
Just a little thing they have to deal with.
But it's the exact same reason why Cody didn't like No Escape, the part of No Escape, where, you know, the woman is just suddenly like, oh no. Here.
Well, that's huge fucking, like, yeah. That creates problems for the only people.
But yeah, the part of the movie we're looking at. You could still have them in the ball without the retrieval system.
Sorry.
And they still could be gone after and looked for. And you can still encounter all those things. It's my problem that they have that, you know, oh, like I said, it's a giant fucking hole in the fence that looks like it's been damaged by something terrifying. And you, me, anybody sitting at this table, if we ran across that, we'd be like, no, man, that would be absolutely bad and terrifying.
Well, I'm a giant pussy, so if I saw a fence ripped down that's supposed to protect dinosaurs, I'd be like, well, this is not where I park my car.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong area. So, and I agree with you, the logical part, again, one-button retrieval thing, if that was in there, I would have less of a problem with it, because if they did that, maybe, like, their ball malfunctioned, which, again, would then, like, that, like, it just happens to be their ball that malfunctions.
But
maybe if the kid did something to do it, like, he was like, let's go this way. Other than, like, maybe he didn't see the fence. Like, you didn't see it tearing the fence. You just saw, like, an opening because, the dinosaur would have taken a gate out or something.
I can understand that.
And the other, the other thing about that, though, is yeah, that's the one thing they did wrong that was dumb. But you also got to look at what it added. It added one of the coolest fucking scenes in the movie.
I still think you could have had that, though.
You couldn't have had that scene.
Yes, you could
that
have.
That scene was badass with the dinosaurs fighting each other and the spear getting fucking... You could have had the that. Spear would not have been involved at all. And they wouldn't have been in trouble with that, the auto-retriever.
You would just have to go into that area instead of going out of that area. Because there had to be a hole in there for a reason.
Yeah, but if the hole wasn't there, they wouldn't have been able to get in there.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that instead of being on the outside of the fence, so the dinosaur could have had this inside.
Big fight on a plane where you could see everything and nothing would have scared you. It would have been as cool.
Or
you have to think this is an action adventure movie that you have to see things inside of here.
I'm just saying that.
Yeah, hold on. I got a way to. Obviously, it's not gonna fix it for you, but I'm saying a way we could fix. It could have been fixed. What if they got chased into the hole trying to get away from him?
And I would have accepted that too.
There you go. Because then they would have been inside.
Because there would have been reason for them to go over there.
Other than just being dickbags.
Other than that, exactly.
So if they would have done something to cause the wheel or the ball not to be able to auto-retrieval, then they basically saw Indominus Rex and then said, holy shit, if we go out here, it's open, he'll be able... Again, we don't know if the girl... It will be able to see us. Let's dive in this fucking hole because we're panicky. And at that point, I definitely would have been like, fucking hide. And, like, go through the hole into the bad area. The only problem is, like, that hole is terrifying. You get in there, and then he would, like, have to chase you. But at that point, the scariness of being in the ball and then seeing it for the first time would have been lost. So, on Mike's point, that kind of would have sucked. Because you've already been afraid of him over here. But other thing, too, you could do if you want to switch it. They could have been knocked into there, too, by, like, the stampeding dinosaurs, which would have been cool.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
My problem with it is always just the fact that the older kid was like, oh, no, don't be such a pussy. Let's go in here. And it makes no sense to me. It just doesn't. Yeah. I hate when movies do that. And I know you guys do, too, just in different, like I said, No Escape would be kind of the same thing. It doesn't make logical sense for her character to do that.
No, pissing me off.
You know. And it's more of a trope than anything for the woman is the one that
caused the
fucking problem. And that's one reason
why. She's wearing debt, all the goddamn shoes.
But yeah, so.
Sorry.
All right, so that was mine. That was your five?
Mine's also Jurassic World.
Five. All right, so.
Michael, four.
My four was Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
Joe, four.
Chappie.
Chappie.
I am Chappie.
Go to sleep now. Why don't you sleep now? My number four is Kingsman Secret Service.
Kingsman, we have to talk about.
Yep.
Goddamn, it was so good.
You
so
two
good.
Go.
We can talk about it. Some of us only Joe seen 20 minutes
of it. I
saw
the first 20 minutes of it.
And you liked it.
And I liked it. It could be hot garbage from the rest on.
Nope. It's not. I promise you.
I own it. I'm going to eventually watch
there's
it.
There's anal.
Oh, that sells me.
Yep. Full penetration.
Well, they don't show full penetration, but they definitely.
Oh, and maybe in my cut they did. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Because he paused it and went online afterwards. Got the
special.
She looks a lot like her.
Especially from that angle.
Yep. All from the rear.
We didn't really ever talk about it.
We talked a little bit about it, but it was in the heap of like other stuff too. Yeah. But no, it's fantastic. It is based on a graphic novel or comic book from one of my favorite current writers, Mark Miller of the Scotlands. It's just a well-written story.
Yeah.
But enough where like when you get to the twist ending, what you think. The twist ending you think's coming is not the one that actually throws you for the loop. Because you're kind of told, not trying not to ruin it for you, Joe, because I do want you to see it. You're kind of told what the ending's going to be, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like the twist is going to be this. And like so you expect the twist to be how they stopped him, like how they stopped whatever the plan is, the plan they set up. I don't know why I'm saying you don't know what it is, but you know what the plan is. But then the ultimate twist in it, which I don't want to mention what it is, there's two really, but they have to do with each other. You're like, oh shit, like I did not see that coming, and I've read this fucking book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, because it was enough of it to be like one of them I should have seen coming because it's from the book, but I didn't. So I was like, oh, like you fucked me up because of this other thing that just happened. I forgot about this.
Yeah.
So holy shit, like good job, guys. Like, but it was so well done. Like the acting was fantastic. The action was really good. Special effects, not a whole lot of them, but the ones they do have are fantastic.
And you don't forget that it's, if you know it's a comic book movie, you don't forget it's a comic book movie. Like it's, they give you enough
outlandishness,
to make it
fun, but not like Plastic Man outlandishness.
Yeah.
You know, like Freakazoid outlandishness, but like enough. Like, well, this doesn't really happen ever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, goddamn, it's awesome! Like the scope, like it's James Bond style comic book.
Yeah, if James Bond was a comic book, this
yeah, because like James Bond is sci-fi. If you really break it down, James Bond is sci-fi because they have weird technology that didn't exist in that time. They do things that don't even exist now, for the most part. Like, you know, a fucking wristwatch that can support two human beings that doesn't exist. That sort of stuff, but like in that sci-fi way. But the cool part about it is, they use old school sci-fi stuff too.
Yeah.
Which is really dope.
And in one of the greatest action sequences you'll ever see in a movie too.
What? Like you're talking about the
church sequence?
Yeah, fucking Christ. So good.
Dude, if you like crazy violent action, you're gonna love this movie.
I'll say this. John Wick's body count may have just squeaked out the church scene.
In this one scene.
One scene.
It is fucking phenomenal. Brutal. And you don't expect and you guys know how much I love seeing people you wouldn't expect doing action do action, especially when they pull it off. Yeah, that dude.
Especially this kind of action too, because he's so badass in the whole movie.
This is his Taken, basically. Like, seriously, like, because you kind of forgot about Liam Neeson for a long time,
and all of a sudden Taken comes out, actually,
and shit like that, and then you're like, oh, Taken, he's a badass. Yeah. It's like that. It's really, really good.
Colin Firth's like, oh, that's the guy that, the king guy who doesn't speak well, right?
Yeah.
And then boom.
All right, what's the number
four? Hardcore fucking, that was number four for us.
Number four. So my number three is Kingsman.
Ooh.
So.
My number three is The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay.
Okay.
I have not seen that yet.
I think.
And I really want to.
You should. I went into it.
Heath didn't go with us.
Why? Because he.
Because I thought you saw Secret Service, and I thought you, I could have swore both of you, and it doesn't matter.
It was, to sum it up, I went into it thinking I would see just a straight up spy movie.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And I came out laughing just because some of the shit that happened in there was so fucking hilarious. And I loved Superman's character, Henry Cavill.
What'd you say?
And the Lone Ranger.
Yeah. And the Lone Ranger.
Superman. I was gonna say one Hammer. Of the twins from Facebook, but
Feld Batman.
Army Hammer.
Yeah.
Army Hammer.
Almost Superman too. If you remember it.
Yeah, that's right.
It was like, oh, we're not gonna make that right now, so we'll try you first, Batman, and it didn't work out so well.
But just the relationship that they end up having is fucking. That's been
super weird. Like, if he was the new Batman,
yeah,
it would have been the first time we saw Batman v Superman before Batman v Superman, and I probably would have still rooted for it more. You know what I mean? But no, I was like, with you, like, I went in thinking the same thing. It was going to be like Guy Ritchie's version of a spy movie, yeah, like his version of Sherlock, where it's like, it's different. And it's still Sherlock, but it's like different than Sherlock. Yeah. You know, it's like, this is Sherlock, and this is Sherlock on Earth 2. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Earth 2, he's a little bit younger. He's also a lunatic, mm-hmm, like legitimate lunatic. Not like, I'm smartly crazy. Like, Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes is fucking insane. Like, yeah,
he really is.
He's batshit crazy. You know? Yeah. And that's exactly what I expected. But I expected the Guy Ritchie humor. And, it, you know, it's the dark humor. This is overtly funny.
Yeah.
And it's really good action.
The scene that just gets me the most is where they're in the boat and they're trying to escape, but it's escaping in a circle. So they're just going around in a circle.
Because they're trapped inside of a closed-in dock area,
yeah,
that has gates. So fucking funny.
Henry Cavill falls out without Armie Hammer's character realizing that he does. So he swims to shore, finds a truck, sits down in the truck, realizes that there's a guy's lunch in the truck. So he just starts eating the dude's lunch.
Turns it on, right, so the radio's playing.
While Armie Hammer's character is still going around in circles.
Getting shot at, fucking chased by other boats, like a gunboat's going on. It's ridiculous. And the best part is, it jumps to Henry Cavill's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So you're inside the cab of the truck, hearing the opera music or whatever playing from the radio inside. Hearing the truck motor, him eating this guy's lunch and drinking the bottle of wine that's in there, whatever, yeah, it happens to be, whilst just happened to seeing the shit going on with Armie Hammer's character through like reflections of a mirror, and then like, but you, and the best part is the whole sequence, once you jump from Henry Cavill being ejected out of the boat and taking on finding the truck, you literally only get it from his point of view.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, you hear gunfire, but it's muffled by the loud music from the truck, but you still see the action going on, but like not directly, like, oh, here's the boat, you know what I mean? It's so funny, like, it's just so well done, like, and the twist in it
was,
which was good. You saw it to a point, once they got to the point where like the smart people are going to see what's happening, you saw it was going to happen. But it was one of those things where you didn't guess, like 2 minutes into the movie, like, boom, bad guy, boom, betrayer, you know, that sort of thing. It's like, mm-hmm, you didn't know. Like, it happened, you're like, oh, shit, fuck yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that was awesome. Yeah. So, I liked it.
Yep.
So what's yours?
Mad Max Fury Road was my number three.
Was your number three?
Yep.
Man.
Amazing movie. So good. I really loved it.
So good.
It was really, really good.
It was really, really good.
So good. I watched it again the other night.
Yeah, everyone should watch it. It's, yeah, fantastic.
Like at least two or three times.
Tom Hardy's got like four lines in it. And
that's what I love about the movie is that you go into it.
He's on
like
screen so much and he fucking says nothing.
Exactly.
And the shit he does say, you're like, what are you, fucking retarded? You really, what are you doing?
You really expect him to be the main character of the movie because it's a Mad Max movie. That's the title, Mad Max. Fury Road, thinking, you know, going into the movie like, oh, Fury Road, it has to just be like the name of a road or something like that. And then you realize that the actual star of the movie is
Furiosa.
Furiosa, yeah.
Charlize Theron.
And
she's fantastic.
She's
talking about like a woman fucking getting shit done in a movie.
Mm-hmm. And the whole group of women, actually.
And it's funny about that is she is strong to a point, but she's super fucking fragile through the whole thing.
She's a great actress.
Yeah. And like, it's like the thing is like you can see she's on the edge of breaking and she's going to do anything she has to fucking do what she needs to do.
Yeah.
But she's on that verge of like, she's gonna fucking just break. You know what I mean? Like, she's gonna, well, something's gonna happen. And at one point, it literally does. Where she just, you've seen it in
trailers, you've seen it in pictures where she breaks down.
Yeah. Like, so, like, you see, you know that's gonna happen, but like, it's so well done. Like, oh, it's so good. It's hard to say, like, you can't really ruin too much of it. There's no big twist in it.
No. It's all like there's kind of a little bit of a twist, but it's not.
Yeah, but not like oh my god, he's actually the bad guy and like not Mad Max and whatever, you know, like that sort of thing. Like he's always been dead. But like yeah, it's so good. Like, and it's funny is people like when this first started coming out, they're like, "Oh, they shot it all practical." No, they didn't.
They did and they didn't at the same time. Well, they shot it smartly practical.
Yeah.
Because obviously you're not going to have some of your actors around like those explosions.
Yeah, it's not like a car blows up and people are flying out of it and that was all CGI or something. Like,
Like the car blew
they
up.
They blow the fuck up out of cars for real and crash them and stuff like that. But they basically do it like one at a time.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like,
and then they add everything together. Yeah.
So if you watch the making of,
which was awesome,
which is amazing, because you're like, the parts you thought were wide shots weren't. You're like, holy shit. You guys are magic. You know what I mean? Because it's funny because like when they substitute in the rock facing, like when they're in the canyon, at one point you realize they're literally on a fucking dirt road and there's grass to the sides of on each side. And then, but you watch the movie, you're like,
it looks good. It looks so good.
Yeah. Like that's
because they used it. It was the best usage of CGI like that you could do. Like,
yeah, because it wasn't, they weren't creating a character for it.
Yeah.
They were using it to enhance the action that was going on without you know,
whoever's idea it was to have the guy playing the guitar.
Oh, yeah.
During the whole time to basically build in its own soundtrack for every action scene. God damn it. That's fucking awesome. Genius.
And it was amazing.
It was the coolest, like one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Shooting fire out of that guitar. Oh, my God.
So badass.
Big ass fire, too. Like, that shit was like, I know some of it was digitized, but like, still, that's a shit ton of flames to like have on set with real people around.
Yeah.
And sometimes some shots without real people around, you just thought they were because like, you see it shooting over the top of cars and you're like, those guys, they got to be nervous. And then you realize, A, that flame doesn't go that far, and B, those people aren't actually there when they shot it.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, shit, like, it looked like it did. Like there's one big scene in it, which in the first trailer I saw, I was like, that's going to be rough. Like, it's going to look rough. And it's the tornado, like this crazy dust tornado thing. I was like, on screen, like when I first saw the very first trailer, I was like, that might be the weakest part of this whole movie. And then you watch it, like, nope. No. That shit was
badass.
And it was so fucking early in the movie, too.
That's right away.
Because they're like, hey, we have all these fucking cars. Big ass tornado. Most of them are gone.
The only negative I have to say about this movie, and again, it's the so goddamn nitpicking. No,
That's the worst thing.
Is just the fact that you don't really get to see Mad Max be the Mad Max that you're kind of expecting to see.
You get at the beginning?
For a minute.
When he's running,
like literally a minute.
When he's escaping, and then you get a little bit more of it on the chase back.
Yeah,
and
that's really it. He's again, it's so nitpicky. I almost don't even want to bring it up. But like, when the sequel comes out, because they have to make a sequel to it.
Yeah, they already.
They are.
The second one's written before the first one came out.
Yeah. Yeah, so like, I just hope he's kind of.
It's more doing Mad his Max. Own
thing a little bit more, you know, so he's not so limited to.
I want the first 30 minutes of the sequel to him picking up the parts of his car.
Right? Just walking around.
Nope. Ooh, this one's mine. He's got initials like carved on it.
Because like you think Mad Max and you think of his dope ass car.
Max like carved into it. Every little bolt like Max. Anything that can come apart from another part has Max like engraved on it.
Max and then it says.
But it's spelled wrong because the A's backwards.
Yeah.
So did they? Because it's. They're.
Yeah. All right. So that was your number.
Well, I just want to add one more thing about that movie is that one of my favorite scenes is where they get stuck in the mud and they have to get out.
So fucking
intense. And then because it's at dark, they're just moving through that bog area.
Yeah.
And he goes to go fight the bullet
farmers.
Yeah, bullet farmers. Yeah. And you don't even see the action. You just see an explosion off scene. And you hear it, and you're like, shit, went down. And for a second there, you're afraid that Max... When he fucking
comes back.
Yeah, comes... That was the dope-ass part. He comes back, and he's covered in blood.
And it's like, not
and
his.
One of the
princesses
was like, are you okay?
Her wives.
And Furiosa is all like, it's not his blood. And he's all, what? Like, all confused. Like, yeah, of course I'm okay.
Yeah.
And then he just starts wiping all this blood off of him that isn't his.
That was pretty badass.
Fucking murdered so many people. So that was my number three as well.
Word. So my number two?
Yep.
Mad Max.
Oh, really? So we don't have to talk about that?
Nice.
Joe, what's your number two?
Ant-Man.
Hey, me too!
Nice.
What the hell was your number one?
What do you think?
We'll get there.
Take a guess.
Oh, he hasn't said Mad Max yet.
Well, I thought your number three was Mad Max.
Hmm.
What was your number three? Kingsman was... No.
Man from
three?
Uncle.
Man from Uncle, that's right. God. I got distracted.
Pay attention.
We got so excited about Mad Max.
Yeah, sorry. I just figured because we were all talking about it, I thought for some reason that was yours too.
No.
So you're number two?
Ant-Man as well.
All right.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say on the subject?
I loved Ant-Man. I think it's my second favorite Marvel movie I think to date, but it might be of the newer batch of the second of this phase two. I think is my second favorite. Guardians is still my favorite.
Yeah.
Of all, like over Winter Soldier. If I had to do all of them, it would be like Guardians, Winter Soldier, Ant-Man. Because they are, like, those movies are, well, Guardians of the Galaxy, it's the first time we've seen any of them. So, like, it's, like, its own little awesome thing.
They are, like, coolly, uniquely different from what you expect right now. Yeah.
And then Cap 2 was so a Captain America movie, but, like, not the one you expected. Even, I knew going in it's going to be Winter Soldier, but it was so much different than the tone of Captain America Winter Soldier, the book, that it was like refreshing in a way, but also different enough from everything else.
But still enough Winter Soldier to like not make comic book nerds all pissed off that
you just used him, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't that. Like, it was enough. They did justice to the character without having to do a three-part movie to tell you the story of just that one thing. Because, I mean, really, for the smart people, we saw it coming from the first movie. Like, we know who Bucky Barnes is.
Yeah.
We saw Bucky Barnes lose an arm falling off the fucking train. And you're like, guess who's coming back for the second one?
And so you're just basically waiting for the first image, just so, because that's going to be the only real surprise, is how does he look?
Mm-hmm. How well do they nail it?
Yeah.
They fucking nailed it.
They literally look like they just pulled a picture out and like,
they're like, you know, okay, what people love.
Just keep adding this.
Yeah, and they did it. So, and then like, Ant-Man,
so badass.
To me, was different, but still very familiar.
It's really funny.
It was really funny. The action was fantastic. The 3D was fucking phenomenal, which, as of right now, I have not pre-ordered it on iTunes because I'm thinking about actually buying a physical copy because I have a 3D TV, but I don't think I want to wait because it's going to be like a good month.
You're going to end up buying both of them.
Most likely.
Let's not lie to ourselves here, Cody.
Probably.
I like to lie to everyone I know.
I like to
lie. But like, it felt different. It almost felt like it should have been an original. I mean, obviously it was, if we know the, if you guys know the backstory. But it felt like it could have easily been like Iron Man 1, Cap 1, Ant-Man, Thor. You know what I mean? It could have been in that order.
In that first batch of...
And it easily could, and you could have just like, even like this version we saw, even though it had ties into the current runs, take that one little bit out with Falcon. Spoilers. Fuck you if you haven't seen it. Which is harsh to say because it's actually not on video, but still, I stand by my words. Fuck you if you haven't seen it. It could stand with those ones, and he could have been in the universe ahead, like already.
He could have been one of the building blocks. Yeah,
yeah. He could have, and we could have been three movies deep with him, and I've been perfectly fine with it. But it was so. I think it was the point where, like, hey, we're gonna have. Yes, this is the third batch of movies, but we're getting an origin story that is not having to tell you everything. Because you're, at this point, yes, you're learning about Scott Lang, but you're not learning about the world that he exists in. You already go, oh yeah, that shit exists. Because
kind of like Daredevil was.
Yeah.
It was a Daredevil origin story, the Netflix series, but you didn't have to explain the world that he's in. Like, you know the world he's in. Like, you know there's aliens attacking the shit.
Yeah, and there's foreign technology in this. Yeah. And like, it's steeped in sci-fi, but still very human, you know what I mean? So I think it's one of my favorite Marvel movies for sure.
Right.
I like a lot. So that was my number two. Michael, number one.
Jurassic World.
Dang.
Yeah, and it wasn't even like when we talked about doing our
it was already there.
Yeah. It was like I knew.
You were working right on away. two through 10.
Yeah. And I get your complaints about it.
It doesn't matter though.
But for me personally, like, and I've said this before, I didn't realize how important the first Jurassic World was to me because I saw it right at the first time. Like, the first time I saw it, I was the right age for, like, to capture my imagination and everything. And then, like, for this, like, this really truly is a direct sequel to part one, to Jurassic Park. And they just, I feel like they couldn't have done it any better. Like, I don't see any way that they could have made a part two that was any better. Like, and I think it was the perfect amount of time separated from it. And dude, like it was like, and like a Jackass. Like, the ending is so fucking obvious when you go back and watch it again. like, you're fucking, of course they're gonna go get the, you know, spoilers, they're gonna go get the T-Rex.
Fuck you.
Like, of course they're gonna do it, because they showed him early in the movie and nobody gave a fuck about him, because it's been so long and it's the same T-Rex from the first one, which they don't say, but you saw the scars and everything.
And the best part about that is they use the history of the first one to make you skip over in your mind the obviousness of showing him again. Because you're automatically thrown in this world where, like, Jurassic Park happens, and everybody fucking knows, not everything that happened on Jurassic Park, but they know Jurassic Park was a thing.
Yeah.
And
they know people died. Yep, like, they even reference, like, yeah, I know people died.
It was a horrible thing. And in this, because it's a reboot of a series without starting over.
Yeah.
It's like a revitalization. It's like, throw this motherfucker in the Lazarus pit and pull it out, because it's just as crazy.
Because it's so long after it.
And it's so long after, but the park you go to, Jurassic World, is an established park. So it's not this isn't a first visit for all these. This isn't the first time the park's been open. This park has been running. The only thing that gives it that newness is the fact that it's the first time the kids have gone. So it's it's you're stuck in the narrative
and
of the kids.
And kids don't, like, nobody gives a fuck about it. Like, it's so ho-hum to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, that's why they're having to create new attractions.
Yeah, because everyone's been to SeaWorld. Yeah. Enough people have been to SeaWorld. Enough people have been to a zoo that if you
like,
get,
and
hey.
Really, if you think about it, like, if you go to the world's greatest zoo, I don't know which one it is.
Every fucking zoo after is garbage.
Yeah. But if you go back the second time, it's not as cool as the first time you go. And once you know those things are there.
But let me ask you a question. So you went to the zoo, right? You've been every year for 10 years since you were 10.
Right.
You get bored, but you love it.
Right.
You stop going for 5 years. I'm going to get you back, because guess what we have now? A dragon. Oh, you're fucking coming back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what's like.
Yeah, that's
what we're not
doing.
At that,
like,
point in the
have
movie.
Dinosaurs,
but we're right at that point.
But yeah, they're trying to be proactive, like a real business would. Let's create more things.
We're gonna
people
give
like
them a
the
dragon.
Scary ones. Like, let's create a scary one. And I loved it. I loved it so much. But I loved the movie so much that I didn't even think about the obvious ending of it. Like, during the whole thing, and like when she goes and she grabs the flare, and even just the flare, how they use the flare. When she goes, she grabs the flare and has the T-Rex follow her. Dude, I got emotional. I had goosebumps. Like, it was fucking fantastic. It was one of my favorite movie experiences I ever went to.
Like, if you could just show that last part of that to, like, anybody.
On October 1st, it comes out digitally, and I've already pre-ordered it.
Yep, me too.
And I'm gonna watch the whole thing, and then I'm going to watch that third act again and again and again. Like, it's... If it was a DVD or a Blu-ray, it would get worn out for sure. Like,
he's gonna wear the internet out.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's gonna wear Flash Media down.
Yeah. My Apple TV remote will be ruined.
Will be broken in half
for sure. But no, like, and I don't know. I know that's kind of uniquely to me how much I loved that third act, but it's so fucking good, dude.
No, because it's a crescendo, buddy. It's like they build up so well. To
I don't
it,
even like it's so like, good. I don't want them to do the other ones.
Yeah, they're going to fuck it up. Like,
of course they are.
I'm going to say right now, there's only two Jurassic Park movies ever made in the history of the world.
Yeah.
One and World. Yeah. Park and World. That's it.
And they're going to fuck it up. And I don't... I'll probably go see it, but like in my head right now, I'm not going to watch another one because I don't want to...
But if they do, then you should call it Jurassic World Lost Park. Just calling it now.
With William H. Macy.
No! No!
Joe?
No Vince Vaughn either. What's number one, Joe?
Mad Max.
Yeah.
I might have talked about that already. So we can skip over a little bit.
Yeah. Your number one?
My number one is the best movie of the year.
Have not talked about at all.
Nope. It is the first time appearing on anybody's list in here. And I do believe I'm the only person in this room
that has seen it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ex Machina.
Yep.
This is there's a reason it's number one. One is it's fucking brilliant. Two is it's amazing, and three is it's the most terrifying AI movie you will ever see in your life. Guaranteed. Fucking guaranteed.
Why?
Because you cannot tell she's fucking a robot.
Okay, but
she looks so real. Okay, so in this, if you don't know what this is, I'm gonna break this down.
I'm pretty sure majority of our people haven't seen it.
So this is a movie written and directed by Alex Garland. If you don't know who Alex Garland is, he's the guy who wrote Dread. Amongst other things.
A movie I love.
Yes. It is about this guy who essentially is the sole proprietor and owner and creator of essentially this world's Google. All right? It's called Blue Book. He makes this, and he's a fucking nut job. Like, recluse, does not like fucking people, like, nut job, but he's like a gene, like beyond genius, like Tony Stark level genius. But if they like put in the super soldier serum into his brain only, like he's that fucking smart. And he basically has this contest in his company where someone gets to come on a retreat to his house that basically just can spend time with him. Like you work for me. Everyone idolizes me. I'm going to take the smartest person. It's not just like a drawing, like, oh, draw your hat. It's the hardest working, best person he wants to bring into his inner circle. That's the premise right away.
So it's kind of leading into like a Willy Wonka type thing.
Yes, except for that's not the whole truth. Your job performance and your aptitude has nothing to do with it. He wants a real person to interact with his AI that nobody knows he built.
To see how if it can be if passed it can off pass. As a real person.
There's a test that all AI go through that eventually will fail every time because it's either too perfect or doesn't give the right answer because it doesn't understand what it is. Mm-hmm. It's called the Turing test. It's basically if a normal person takes it, you get the right answers, but they're not always correct. And AI, because it's smart, has to know it. So and these aren't like a yes or no or right or wrong answer. It is emotional questions.
Mm-hmm.
What does the color blue make you feel? That kind of shit. Because, again, AI doesn't feel, doesn't have emotions. He has done this.
It's much like the premise of Blade Runner.
In a way, yeah, for sure.
It's the idea across yeah.
And it is the most terrifying AI in the world because it is so real. Like, there are quite a few movies that came out this year that have to do with AI. We have talked about a few of them today. Yeah. This is by far the most terrifying. Yes, Terminator will kill you. But the difference is, he's a Terminator. You can see him coming because he's like, kunk, kunk, you know?
And I can hold a gun. His name is Terminator.
Plus all
Terminator
that music that follows
yeah,
him.
Like, dun, you know, dun, 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 dun. She walks
it's weird
up.
That all Terminators have that speaker.
It is.
It's like, you should have left that out of the build. Like, we can hear him coming. Plus, he's got 12 guns on him.
Plus,
no one
like
can do that.
12 Arnold Schwarzeneggers, you know, standing
like,
in front
they all
of
look
me.
Exactly the same.
Exactly. No.
I'm not the clone.
The quadruplets?
Yeah, for sure. But in this, like, she looks so real. Like, down to, like, the skin, like, everything. So, like, if she walked up, you'd be like, dang, girl, you hot as shit. She's like, thank you. Like, you had no idea. Like, Joe wouldn't even, but, like.
That's true.
Yeah.
She'd be like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, oh, I think you're a robot, bitch.
Exactly.
But still hot as hell.
Yeah, she's dang, girl. Hot. Well, what kind of software you got?
Wink.
Yep. I'm going to upgrade your hardware. Sorry.
Gross.
And you can fuck them. That's probably one of the best parts of this movie is when you find out that you're like, oh, this dude's living by himself in this house.
Sex bot.
You are a nut job. Yeah.
Beta test.
it's definitely a test of some sort. It's a fantastic movie. I was going to say right now. It's well written. It's beautifully shot. The acting's fantastic. There's only really like four actors in it.
Huh.
Really, for the most part. And it's really just three actors with like a co-star kind of chilling over here that's in it a little bit. But, like, she's not part of the main. Like, it's just the dude, and the chick. And, like, you go in, you don't have to know. Like, you go in knowing that she's a robot. They tell you that. Like, that's the thing. It's like, you're not surprised. Oh, she's a robot at the end. Like, he's a ghost at the end. You know she's a robot. It's the holy shit, she's so real thing that gets you in it. But that's my number one.
Cool. All right, so real quick, your number one was?
Ex Machina.
Joe, you're number one?
Mad Max.
Jurassic World. So
our lists were not very different.
No. The top grouping was pretty much a misorganization of the same movie. So
yeah.
We're pretty similar.
Boom.
All right. So
I guess that's it. We'll skip over the rest of the garbage we're gonna go over.
Yeah, we don't have
Just know this. Rest of the year has some more movies in it, but really it just comes down to Star Wars.
We'll talk maybe next week we'll just talk about what we
maybe
see.
Probably not because we'll forget. But just
like
know that coming in the future
Star Wars
the rest of this year, Star Wars is really the only you have to look forward to. There's other stuff that I want to see. But it really comes
Star Wars is the important one.
Like,
so.
if you're not excited for Star Wars, A, you found the wrong fucking podcast, but thanks for listening. So, yeah, that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you guys just came naturally.
Two S's, two A's, two R's. Don't be a dick.